Amen. It is good that God has blessed us to return this evening, that we might continue and complete our worship service on this Lord's Day. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read by Brother Brown just a few minutes ago. Luke chapter 7, verses 19 through 23. Luke chapter 7, verses 19 through 23. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. All right. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. All right. At this time, Jesus was in the last year of his ministry. He spent the first year of his ministry in relative obscurity. The second year of his ministry was a time of considerable popularity, while the third year developed into a time of opposition as his hour of suffering and death drew near. Verse number 17 reports that after he raised a widow's son from the dead, his fame spread throughout Judea and the surrounding regions. Everybody was excited about Jesus and about all that Jesus was doing, the miracles that Jesus was performing. The populace was getting excited. It was noised abroad that Jesus was doing great things, and many were thinking that he must be that prophet that the Jews had waited so long for. Yes, the word about Jesus was spreading far and wide. In reality, the word about Jesus was spreading so readily that the news of Jesus' magnificent and wonderful works reached a heavily fortified fortress at the northeast end of the Dead Sea, where one John was imprisoned. Now, you are familiar with this John. This was John the Baptist. And according to John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, he was a man sent from God to bear witness of the light. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light that was coming to the world. The Bible says that John was pointing men to Christ. John, now notice, was not a Baptist, but John was the Baptist. John was the Baptist because that was not his religion, but his work. He was called and referred to as John the Baptist because of his work of baptizing folk. Now, men today have adopted a religious name from John the Baptist and organized the church around that name, but men need to realize that they displease God by identifying themselves as a Baptist, by wearing a name adopted from John. John had emphasized that I'm not the light. John pointed men to Christ. John had concluded I must decrease and he must increase. John was saying, in reality, he's saying, I am in the process of going out of business. He's going to be increasing, but I'm going to be correspondingly decreasing. And John clearly affirmed that he was not that light, but that he came to simply bear witness of the light. He came to point men to the light. He said, I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose his shoes. He said, with reference to the identity of Jesus, when Jesus came to him to be baptized of him, he said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. I need you to baptize me. So John understood his place. John understood what his job was. He recognized that men should ultimately not follow him, but they should ultimately follow Christ. Men should not identify themselves with John the Baptist insofar as wearing the name Baptist, but they should identify with Jesus Christ wearing the name Christian. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26 and Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, Peter affirms, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name or on this behalf. Those who truly are in the light are called Christians. However, if you wear the name of someone else, including John, you are not in the light. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. John ate an unconventional diet. Now, some of us would have wanted to categorize John as being almost wild. John consumed locusts for breakfast and ate wild honey. John had an unusual wardrobe. He made a very rustic fashion statement because his garments were made of camel's hair, and he had been sent from God to pave the way, to blaze the trail for the coming Messiah. Gabriel in Luke chapter 1 and verse 17 said, he shall go before him in the spirit and in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, because of the powerful preaching of John, some folk thought that John was the Messiah. Some folk thought that John was that prophet that should come. But John very clearly and emphatically stated, I am not he. I came to pave the way for him. So John the Baptizer was sent to be a forerunner for the Christ. He was sent to get the people ready for the coming of the Lord. All right. He was not the light, but he came to point people to the light and lead people to the light. But now, John is in prison. He hears of the spreading fame of Jesus, even in prison. The word has spread because folk are talking about the Lord. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if more of us talked about the Lord? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if more of us talked about Jesus and what Jesus has done and what Jesus is doing in the lives of people even today? You remember, some great things tend to happen when people start talking about the Lord. When the woman at the well talked about the Lord, a whole city came out to hear his message. We as a church will have a great effect on our city, a great effect on our community, a great effect on our families, a greater effect in the marketplace if we spend more time talking about the Lord and what wonderful things he has done. When John heard of the fame and work of Jesus, interestingly, John sent two of his disciples with a very interesting question. He said, you guys go to Jesus, and I want you to ask him, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? John knew that the Old Testament prophets had spoken of one to come, that Moses has said the Lord would raise up a prophet like unto him, and whosoever would not hear that prophet would be destroyed from among the people. He knew that the great messianic prophet Isaiah had placed his eye to the telescope of time and peered down through the vistas of the ages and foresaw that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel. John no doubt knew that the weeping prophet Jeremiah in chapter 23 and verse 5 predicted that a righteous branch of David would execute judgment and justice in the earth. John no doubt understood that in Daniel 7:13, he saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near unto him, and there was given unto him a kingdom. John was fully aware of what the scriptures taught about that prophet that should come. The Bible lets us know that Malachi had spoken of the Son of Righteousness arising with healing in his wings, Malachi 4 and verse 2. John wanted to know, are you the one, or should we look for another? But the question is, why now? You see, John had been convinced earlier that Jesus was the Christ. He said he had had the assurance that the Christ, the Messiah, would be the one on whom the Holy Spirit would descend. And in John chapter 1 and verse 29, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And a little bit later on, he made the same declaration, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." So John earlier was convinced, there was no doubt in his mind, that Jesus was indeed the Christ. But now he was in prison. You know, some strange things, I'm told, can happen to you in prison. And I used to work for the Department of Corrections, the Mississippi State Penitentiary, and I understand from observation, not from personal experience, I understand from observation some of the kinds of things that can happen to you in prison. And my heart goes out to those who are incarcerated. So John is now in prison, and doubts seem to be creeping in. Perhaps the prison had brought on discouragement and depression. Perhaps John was letting prison get to him. Perhaps those prison bars were barring the hope in John's soul. Maybe the darkness of the prison dimmed the light within John's heart. It could be that the dampness of the prison cell had dampened his zeal and enthusiasm for the work of the Lord. It might have been that the dust of the prison had choked the vision of John in his mind. Perhaps John's incarceration, his imprisonment, his shackles had shackled his sense of confidence and imprisoned his vision for the future. I know something had to have happened to John while he was in prison. The same thing sometimes happens to us. We get discouraged and start questioning God as if God doesn't know what he's doing. Sometimes we face trials and start having our doubts. Sometimes because of dire and dispiriting circumstances, our hearts get heavy and we get discouraged along the way. When troubles come our way, we begin to lose our faith in God. When the road gets kind of rough, we want to turn our backs on God. When the load gets too heavy for us to bear, we prematurely and erroneously conclude that God has deserted us and left us all alone. Life's many prisons cause us to have many doubts. But the great hymnologists offer words of hope with which we can identify. "Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you." Furthermore, we have memorable words of the song, "If your body suffers pain, and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there." 1 Corinthians 10:13 assures us that the Lord will, with the temptation, make a way for us to escape that we might be able to bear up under it. 2 Peter 2:9 reminds us that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So the question of John is, are you that prophet? Are you he? Or should we look for another? And that reminds me when in John chapter 6, a great company of followers or disciples of Jesus turn and walk with him no more. And the Bible says Jesus was not disturbed about their abandonment of him. He just turned to his disciple and said, "Will you also go away?" Old Peter spoke up right on time with an appropriate response. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." We can ask that same question. Lord, to whom shall we go? The psychologist has no permanent answers. The psychiatrist cannot make us whole. The sociologist has no real solutions to our problems. We have to stick with the Lord because he understands us better than we understand ourselves. Jesus, significantly, if you look at the text, Jesus said nothing. At first, Jesus said nothing. You see, Jesus was a man of action more than a man of words. In this text, at first, he said nothing. We need to learn a valuable lesson from Jesus. We must learn to think before we speak. We could avoid a lot of headaches in our lives if we learn to think before we speak. I have learned that from Jesus, and I have learned it in the crucible of domestic experiences. And if the truth be told, many of us have learned that it can be very tragic for you to speak before you think. Somebody said, if you your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care to whom you speak and of whom you speak and how and when and where. Oh, the tongue can get you into a world of trouble. Can it, Gene Davis? Yes. I'm talking from experience. You might not have experienced that yet, Gene, but I have after 30, how many? 4 years, almost 34, of being married, I have learned that it's sometimes better to simply keep quiet. Triplett hadn't been married a year yet, and I think he's already learned that valuable lesson. Yes, he's still enrolled in the school, and it's going to be a long time before he graduates from the school of matrimony. But Jesus was a man of action. You remember the adulterous woman that was dragged before Jesus. And the scoundrels, the low-down rascals that had apprehended her and brought her to Jesus, said, "We caught this woman in the very act of adultery." Jesus didn't say a word. He stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then he wrote on the ground again. And he looked at those low-down scoundrels and said to them, those hypocritical rascals, he said, "Let him that is without sin cast the first stone." And those rascals just start gradually, like the Arabs at the close of day, silently fold up their tents and steal away. From the oldest to the youngest, they gradually faded away. Jesus showed them something. This is impressive. His first answer to John's disciples was to show them something. In that same hour, he cured many diseases, plagues, and evil spirits, and restored sight to the blind. Then he told them, "Tell John what you have seen and heard." The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. Tell John what you saw. You know, Edgar Guest was right when he said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eyes a better pupil, more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. The best of all the preachers are the ones who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. Dr. Luke in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, or lover of God, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. That should characterize our lives. In order to share the gospel effectively, in order to be God's people and to carry out our mission as his disciples, as his followers, we need to be actively involved in doing two things. Preach the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Romans chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16, Paul said, for as much as in me is, I am now ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we need to preach the gospel first and foremost. Are we doing all that we can, as Brother Davis asked in our class this morning, in this area? How can we improve? What can I personally do? What can you personally do to share more effectively the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We need to preach the gospel. Then we need to heal the hurts. Michael talks about habits, hurts, and hang-ups. We need to help heal the hurts and help people overcome the habits and help people get over the hang-ups of life. Jesus healed the hurts. Yes. And then he said, tell John what you have heard and what you have seen. We must be the church that is actively involved in sharing the message so men can hear, and we must live out the reality of the message. We must be engaged in active, positive, tangible ministry addressing the needs of the populace of our community. Our community is hurting. Marriages breaking up, single parents struggling to try to make it, discord and distrust in our communities, joblessness is rampant in our communities, teenage pregnancy remains a serious problem, high school dropouts are escalating, especially in the black community, drug abuse and drug addiction are rampant in our community. We must be a church that endeavors to heal the hurts, but sometimes the church fails to heal the hurts because it is too busy hurting itself. too busy fighting among itself. If we teach people that Jesus is the answer, we must show that he is the answer in our own lives. We must keep our homes together. We must strengthen our domestic and marital relationships. We must sharpen our parenting skills. We must properly order our priorities. We must be a good example before our children in our homes and before our co-workers on our job and before our neighbors in our community and before each other in the body of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need to get busy healing the hurts. Then when folks ask about the Church of Christ, people can tell what they saw. They can tell that they saw a church that was true to the Word of God, taught it like it is written, without addition or subtraction. They can tell that they saw a church that not only preached the gospel, but endeavors to heal the hurts of those traumatized by sin in our communities. Jesus sought to verify and validate his identity as that authentic and genuine prophet that had been spoken of numerous times in the Old Testament. So he told John's disciples, tell John what you saw. Remove John's doubts by telling John what you saw. Rekindle John's zeal by telling John what you saw. Dispel John's fears by telling John what you saw. Re-inspire John's hopes by telling John what you saw. Rebuild John's faith by telling John what you saw. There's a message for the church. As a church, we ought to have a desire to serve our community. We need to have a desire to help folks deal with their discouragement, to help folks deal with their depression, to help folks deal with multiple disappointments, to help folks deal with their doubts. People are doubting because of what they see on TV, what they hear on the radio, what they read in the newspaper, what they see in the lives of those who profess to be the people of God. In the midst of these doubts, somebody's asking the question, is Jesus truly the one? Or must we look for another? He came, and we preach him. We claim allegiance to him. But there's still war going on. Is he the one, or should we look for another? There's no lasting peace in the world. Folks are still starving and suffering. Men are still lost. And from a perspective of spiritual perplexity, people raise doubting and troubling questions. In an atmosphere of encroaching doubt and increasing uncertainty, disturbing questions are given birth to. The answer comes back, not just to John, but the answer comes back that we can give to the world. We can tell the world what we see in the Word of God. We can affirm to the world what we see in the transformation of the lives of men, even in this 21st century. And there are answers for everybody. There's hope for everybody. There are solutions for everybody. When people ask that question, is he the one? Is the Church of Christ the one? Or should we look for another? The answer comes back, tell the people what you have seen. Tell the people what you saw in the divine word of God. Tell the orthopedic specialists, you saw a lame man get up and walk. Tell the neurologists, you saw a man paralyzed for 38 years, take up his bed and go home. Tell the ophthalmologists, you saw a blind man from birth receive better than 20/20 vision. Tell the rheumatologist and chiropractor that you saw a woman who had been bent down like a pretzel for 18 years, straightened out by Jesus. Tell the hematologist and gynecologist, you saw a woman with a chronic blood disorder for 12 long years, made whole by the healing touch of Jesus. Tell the dermatologist, you saw multiple lepers healed of their deadly skin disease. Tell the ear, nose, and throat specialist, you saw a deaf and dumb man healed by the master's touch. Tell the weatherman that you saw Jesus rebuke the winds and waves and bid the storms be still, and they immediately obeyed his will. Tell the district attorney you saw the accusers of the woman caught in adultery drop the charges at the behest of Jesus. Tell the baker and the folks in the main office at Captain D's that you saw Jesus feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Tell the educators you saw Jesus amaze the doctors and lawyers in the temple at age 12. Tell the IRS agent that you saw Jesus fetch tax money out of a fish's mouth. Tell the undertaker you saw Jesus raise from the dead Jairus' daughter, the widow, the son of the widow of Nain, and his good friend Lazarus in Bethany. Tell the astronaut you saw Jesus ascend to heaven on a cloud without the aid of a material space capsule. Tell the contractor you saw the confirmation and realization of Jesus' promise to build the church. Tell the folk what you saw. We have a wonderful and a marvelous message to share. And we could go on and talk about how individual lives of people we know, including ourselves personally, serve to illustrate the power and the influence of Jesus our Lord to transform our lives. He still has the power. If we will bow in humble submission to his will. If you are here and you're not yet a Christian, if you are here and you're troubled, and if you are here, you're outside the ark of safety, we'd like to encourage you to come trusting and obeying. You've heard the good news of the gospel, how Jesus died, how he was buried, and how he rose again the third day in the place of each of us for our sins. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of all of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God, and submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. And you can arise to walk and to live in the newness of life. If you're here and you're already a child of God, but you have fallen away and lapsed into a state of unfaithfulness and sin, through repentance, confession, and prayer, you can be made whole again and restored. Will you come as we together stand and as we sing?
I hear the Savior say,
thy strength indeed is small.
Child of weakness,
watch and pray.
Find in me thine all in all. Jesus, pay.